You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Buzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. You know what time it is here at AfterBuzz TV, talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode 120, Season 1, Episode 20, Nothing Personal. I'm Matt Lieberman, and joining me on the panel, of course, Megan Salinas is here.
Hi, guys.
Kristen Carroll's
here.
Hey,
everyone.
And filling in for Joyce Ajuri, who could not be with us today, Zach Wilson's back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so glad you're here. We got a great episode, and we also have a great guest in the form of Casey Adams, who is a stuntman on the show. He is Phil Coulson's stunt double, and we're so glad to have him here.
Right.
Welcome.
On. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, before we jump into the conversation, I just want to talk to you really, really quickly about this show. I don't know if you're aware, but our founders here at AfterBuzz TV, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, have a television show, a reality show on Oxygen. It's called Chasing Maria Menounos. And you know what? It's a really great show. We've been getting a really intimate look into their lives. There's so much drama going on. And, you know, we talk every week about iTunes and how that's a great way to support AfterBuzz TV. Another great way to support AfterBuzz TV is to go watch their show, tweet about it, comment on iTunes about their show or on Amazon, anywhere. Legitimately, their show's success leads to our success. It's also, if you haven't seen it, it's a great way to look at behind the scenes at AfterBuzz. Because there's a lot of AfterBuzz drama on the show. So if you're an AfterBuzz fan, you owe it to yourself to check out their show Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Oxygen, or you can find it on iTunes, Amazon, or on demand.
Like last episode, they had a pool party and a lot of us AfterBuzz. Did you see yourself in that?
I didn't see myself in it.
I saw me once. I was on an inflatable banana in the pool. And I was like, there I am.
I was very antisocial that day, so I don't know if I got to be on the cameras.
I didn't know you back then.
Yeah, I know. It's so strange. But in any case,
before
yes,
but definitely watch it because there's all cameos from like your favorite AfterBuzzers. I mean,
yeah, you know. Everyone's there. But in any case, let's talk about this episode filled with thrills, chills, and spills. A big twist at the end, but we're gonna save that to the end. We're gonna start talking about the opening with Maria Hill and Melinda May. And, you know, how great is it to see Kobe Smulders in the role of Maria Hill? We didn't get a lot of her in Cap 2. We got just enough in the Avengers. But she's really starting to own this part, and it makes me happy.
She's fantastic. I was really disappointed in the Avengers when she really didn't do much outside of that opening scene. And so seeing her more in Captain America 2 and seeing her especially in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point, it's just fantastic. They cast the role perfectly, and she kicks a lot of butt.
Mm-hmm.
If they get picked up for season 2, she better be a regular.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, now she's free of her How I Met Your Mother obligations. Like, get her every week
right?
On this show. Her and Coulson have a great back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more of it.
And potentially some sultry both of them being the boss times. I'm floating it. Anyone with good chemistry, we float as a potential couple. I know
so
fake studio audience.
Like Melinda May, Phil.
We get super
happy.
We get super ship happy on this.
I feel like in my mind, Hill and Coulson are like brother and sister.
Yeah,
I
you're
see more
right.
Of that as well.
But then again, everyone else said Fitzsimmons was brother and sister.
I still see that. I like her with Triplett.
All right, fine.
Hand on the knee.
But in any case, Maria Hill walks out of yet another like Senate subcommittee hearing where she has to defend her actions and, you know, condemn S.H.I.E.L.D. for everything that happened. And, you know, she's so aware of this just like god-awful surveillance team that's been trailing her everywhere. So obvious and like kind of offensive. The fake homeless man, she said, was very offensive. And that was the truth. And all of a sudden, they're all taken out in quick succession by an unseen pursuer. Uh-oh. But of course, it's Agent Melinda May, the cavalry herself, and no one else could have done such a neat job of taking out the trash.
She takes out the like hipster guy,
yeah,
crosses the street, takes out the other two in the blink of an eye.
She's just that good. Does she have like a dart gun?
I like how we don't question it because it's Melinda May. We're right. Just like, it makes sense.
Mythic. She's mythic status, okay? And she probably had an icer. She probably iced the other two.
That makes sense, actually.
That makes more sense than her jumping fairly, across the street.
Or like having a blow dart gun.
Yeah. Although if any member of the team was going to have a blow dart gun, it would be her or it would be Fitzy, but not to use, just to like have, like, look how cool this is. That's not his accent.
Laser-guided blow dart gun.
Yeah, I love that idea. In any case...
I also like that it's revealed that Maria Hill was talking to Pepper Potts. I think we had a lot of callbacks this episode.
Cute.
So for people who are fans of the movies and always talk about, why don't you interact with that universe more? I thought that was a little, can you call that an Easter egg?
Yeah,
no, that was a fun little nod. And I was like, oh, she's talking to Pepper. Which makes sense if she's working for Stark Industries now.
Right.
And then that's confirmed that she was working with them because it was like, did she go over there for a job? I mean, what exactly is she doing?
Yeah,
is
she just said privatized security, but we still don't really know what that means.
Right.
I figured she might have been undercover at Stark Industries, like under a fake name or something.
That's what I thought
at the end of Cap 2.
Right. But now it seems to be far more above board than that. And, you know, Stark gets name-checked a few times in this episode. Later on, you know, she tells Coulson that Stark would be happy to have him. So, you know, whatever their roles are, the company as a whole is privatizing global security because S.H.I.E.L.D. can't anymore. Whether or not that, you know, it's a callback to, like, the opening of Iron Man 2, where he's like, I've successfully privatized world peace.
What if...
Except he destroyed pretty much all of his Iron Man suits in the last one. Well, but that's a moot point
his new stance is Stark Industries becomes the secret financiers of...
Agents of Stark.
The new S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't know. It might be Agents of Stark, but what I think it is, It is a hiding in plain sight, you know, nugget of what eventually leads into Age of Ultron, where you're right. All the Iron Man suits have been blown up. So now Tony Stark is focused on finding and creating a new protector for the planet that's going to go horribly awry. moving on, though, May tells Maria Hill, Coulson's in trouble. He needs you. He's at the Providence base, and he won't talk to me. I still need to go get answers. Shades down. That's not what happened, but it's how it felt. And, you know, they go their separate ways. So we hook back up with our S.H.I.E.L.D. team at the Providence base, still having no idea that Koenig is dead. No cameras, no nothing, and they're just puzzled by this footage. What clues do they have? They know that May left at a certain point, and that later on, Sky and Ward got onto the bus holding hands. Weird.
Super weird and creepy.
Right. So everyone's on edge. Simmons decides to make everyone pancakes because that's going to help everyone. It's going to make everyone feel better.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, I mean, you've had pancakes before, right?
I have had pancakes.
So you understand.
They are joyful.
Food, right? Yeah.
As long as she added some bacon with that, then I wouldn't even
think
about
Sky. Not as long.
Sky.
That's a bonus.
Sure.
Yeah.
As long as there's maple syrup.
Yeah, that's a staple.
That's the big point.
Like powdered sugar if you want to go like fancy. But yeah, maple syrup if you just want to keep it standard.
Right.
Strawberries, can we know? Or should we?
Strawberries.
Blueberries. Yeah. Blueberry pancakes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, chocolate chips if you're feeling nasty.
Oh,
and because it's ABC, it'll be Disney shaped.
Oh,
like Mickey Mouse.
Wow. Yep. Mickey Mouse pancakes, like you would get at a nice resort.
Exactly. I feel better already.
Yeah. My night just got better.
Yeah. So, you know, she goes to find this batter to see if there's any, and Fitz goes off. I can't even remember what he was trying to do, but I think he was trying to figure out how to get the cameras back online. And he notices, so like last week we were kind of wondering what's up with that shot where she looks at the fake window,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had scratched using a screwdriver, scrawled an important message on the daytime image, and then pulled the Nighttime image down and then stuck the thing in there so that it would be stuck that way. Fitz finds it, and it's just so cool seeing it scroll back up, and it's the handwritten panicked Ward is Hydra, and I'm like, that's dope. Good, good, bad handwriting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the little things.
That was a good touch. It really, and just again, they did sort of the similar thing last week when they were cutting back and forth between the cellist and between Sky. Mm-hmm. Here they were cutting back and forth between Fitz and Simmons, and they did that really well because we have Simmons coming across Eric's dead body, and then we have, you know, Fitz finding this message, right. This cryptic message.
Well, it's great because it's adding to that espionage style of show that we really didn't have for most of the season, despite the fact it's a spy agency. Now it feels like anything could happen. You got to watch out for every corner.
You're so right. I don't know that it ever felt like a spy drama. No. I don't know that it was ever supposed to, but they are spies. Mm-hmm. This is a spy show. And even though, you know, we want it to be a superhero action movie every week, and the show, you know, gamely tries to do that, this is a spy show, and I feel like, you know, embracing that is what they've done in this back half of the season, having a mole within the team, and I feel like it's really made the show come to life.
Yeah, well, you can get away with, like, on this whole show, in this whole episode, the really only superhero thing that happened was that one jumping unnecessary leap from Mike Peterson.
Oh yeah, deathlock. Yeah,
he jumps so high. Like I said, I'm like, if you can jump that high, I mean, I would show it off a little bit too.
Yeah, it's intimidating. But we got by on the rest of the show with just small stuff, but it always felt like that outside chance that, like, the superhero thing was there. It was always looming.
Well, honestly, bigger than that. We'll get to it later. But the escape from the bus in Lola, to me, is one of the best executed effect sequences of the entire season. It really was very well done. But we're going to get to that in a bit. So, upon discovering these two things, everyone shaken, Fitz furious.
Fitz is kvitzing.
Yeah.
That was really nice to see, though.
Is that the word? Is that the Yiddish word? Kvelling is not what he's doing.
He's having a kvitz.
He's having a fit. I don't know. Fitz is having a fit.
Stop trying to make a pun of this.
Okay. Was that the pun that you wrote down in your notebook?
I was excited about it.
Oh, okay. In any case, he's really, really furious about it. They're all really stunned. And, you know, the heat is on. We have to find Sky. Obviously, he took her. You know, she's in danger. Coulson, you know, realizes that she obviously must have found out what's going on. Because she's got the hard drive, they need it decrypted, and you know, we have to figure out exactly where they are. We have to get communication systems up and online so that we can start tracking the bus and figure out where they are. Mm-hmm. What did I kick? No one knows. No one knows what I kicked.
Now half the studio's out.
No. Someone had a Mountain Dew Code Red and didn't clean it up.
Oh,
I'll get them.
Always clean up the studio
definitely
when you're done.
Not a but secret bomb in the Mountain Dew can.
I really liked seeing Fitz kind of freak out a little bit. I mean, we've been seeing a lot more with his character and really taking charge in different ways. And you know, even when he found out Garrett was Hydra, you know, that day, you know, I want to be a part of making you suffer. And even a little bit later, we see him talk back to Talbot. And, you know, so seeing him kind of freak out over finding out Ward was Hydra, and then him having to work with Triplett as well. I liked that dynamic. We saw that, obviously, he's getting, even though he was mad at him, I feel like he is getting more comfortable with him as well.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, he's also like, who are you? I don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's a good question, because they thought they knew Ward.
Yeah.
And they knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this other guy who was also, you know, has Garrett.
And it must be infuriating, too, not only because he's been lying to them this whole time, but the last episode, when Ward was lying about having killed Garrett, he said, you know, I put two in the back of his head, you know, one for me. And then he turns to Fitz and he's like, and one for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you bold-faced, dirty, disgusting liar.
Mm-hmm.
You lying rat.
Well, and so, yeah. Well, yeah. Before we can do anything about it, though, there is a perimeter alert. And we're worried what's going to happen. The hangar doors, they should be able to hold unless someone deactivates them from the outside. Great. And the base fills with armed forces. And Glenn Talbot, who's still a dick. And his mustache now in one piece,
yeah.
Which we all appreciated.
He grew it and he maybe burned off the middle of it.
Well, yeah, when you find out that S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually Hydra and you're probably enjoying a nice cigarette, you know, maybe you accidentally turn it around into your mustache and shift half of it up a couple of millimeters, like a raised eyebrow. That poor mustache. In any case, he's still a dick, but Maria Hill is there, and you know, she gave up the location of the base to sweeten her deal. She's been trying to get out of this, you know, hornswoggle of a legal process. They are all technically criminals. They are all technically fugitives. It's bad news. And you know, rather than have his team be interrogated, Phil tries to get them out of there. And he and Maria wind up teaming up and kicking some butt and knocking Talbot on his ass. Everyone liked that. Yeah, how did we feel about this escape, folks?
I thought it was great to see them work together. I feel like, you know, maybe knocking a special forces colonel unconscious might be bad for you in the globalizing private security. That might have some repercussions down the road, but I'm sure they'll be fine.
It's kind of fun to see them fight as well. I know, Casey, you said you weren't involved particularly in that scene, but in that scene, was that somebody else doing Coulson or Maria? Like, how did that work? Or for Kobe as well?
Yeah, there's two stunt doubles for Coulson, and I'm one of them, and then there's another gentleman named Dane who does most of them, and Dane is more Coulson's age and looks...
I was going to ask you about that because you guys have definitely looked at each other.
Shave, but
yeah. You guys should check it out on YouTube if you're only listening because, it doesn't...
Yeah, so... But, yeah, that was a... You know, the actors are really involved with doing a lot of their own stunts, which is cool. They're definitely in the fight. So the way you'll usually shoot it is when it's someone's back to you, that's a stunt double, and then the actor will be here. And then when you turn around to shoot it the other way, you swap out stunt double for actor, and that's kind of how we do it. But
so you're on the set at the same time then?
Oh, yeah. And you rehearse it, you know, for a few days with the actors, with the other stunt people. There's a couple really good fight coordinators on the show, Greg Rementer and Matt Mullins, and they put these huge elaborate fights together, and I feel like a lot of that stuff gets lost. You don't even see it on screen. It's all over so fast, but it's pretty, you know, extensive stuff, and people are taking hard hits that just go right by, and you don't even realize it because you never know what they're going to use and how they're going to edit it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fun, though, like, and everybody's super involved. Coulson actually trains in martial arts. He's been doing it for 20 years or whatever, so he's good. Yeah.
What martial art does Clark Gregg train in?
He trains in, what does he do? I think he does jiu-jitsu.
That is so cool.
Yeah, don't quote me on that.
Now that this Gregg is on the...
Yeah, man. Yeah. Clark
Gregg.
No, but
he's good. He can handle his own.
He's a one-man wrecking crew.
So do you have martial arts training? Do you have a martial arts background? Or do you just kind of wing it as you go?
Yeah, pretty much. I did some as a kid growing up, but... with stunts, you kind of have to be as well-rounded as you can be with all, you know, types of different stunts. There's car stunts, fire, and jumping off things, and fighting is a huge part of it. I mean, so much of it is just getting knocked down, beaten up, and killed, and all that. But, no, like Greg and Matt, those guys are trained fighters, and that's their, you know, that's like what they do primarily, and they're great at it. And so it's fun to just, like, learn from them and... You know, they'll choreograph this big thing, and we just plug in what to do, and it's a good time. It's like, it's really fun.
Would you say out of all of them that Clark Gregg is the one that does most of his stunts?
Ward does a lot. Everybody, they're all really involved.
Everyone pitches in.
May, she's great. Yeah, like everybody really, they're putting themselves out there for sure.
That's
great.
I'll
do a lot of them, yeah. It's cool.
So we get our folks out of Providence. They fight their way out, and they're on their way to go rescue Sky as quickly as they can. Now, before we get on to Sky and Ward's part of the story and move things forward, I want to talk about iTunes. You knew it was coming. Folks, I told you at the top of the show to watch Chasing Maria Menounos because it helps keep the lights on and doors open here at AfterBuzz TV. But so does leaving your ratings and reviews on iTunes. You know, we really, the reason why I keep hounding you about this is because that's the only way that these shows get tracked on iTunes. It's the only way that we know how well we're doing. It's the only way that our bosses know how well we're doing and that you guys like what we're putting out there. It really, really is helpful. It really does aid the cause. And, you know, this show's free, and so are all the other shows here at AfterBuzz TV. So if you get a second, be generous. Give us a review on any of the shows that you listen to. It legitimately raises the collective water level of the entire network. I'm going to do a few shout-outs, which is the other perk you get when you write something. I have to read it, whatever it is. yes. Papa Giorgio 70, 5-star review. Thank you. Love the podcast. Great recap. Even better banter. You can tell they're having a blast doing this. Papa Giorgio 70, you're absolutely right.
I don't know. I just hate it every day. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, God.
Kristen is our Hydra agent. She's been hiding in plain sight this whole time.
Or
acting
Melinda May, and yeah. I'm sent here to bring you all
to
together.
To spy on us. She's here from...
Matt, she's with
the team together.
Yeah.
We do have an agent, Phil Svitek.
Our intrepid executive producer. Best podcast ever. 5 stars from J. James Barnes. Hello, J. James Barnes. I love the hosts, and I follow about 7 or 8 AfterBuzz shows. I love hearing the theories and predictions. This is a must addition for an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. 100% agree. And what's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? From Rattlesnake75, 5 stars. If I was stuck on a deserted island, I think this is in reference to the series of questions from last week.
Where Fitz would have Simmons.
Right.
And,
yeah. If I was stuck on a deserted island, I would like Megan, Joyce, and Kristen to be in the box and one blanket.
So wait, if Joyce isn't here this week, does that make Zach in the box with us?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about, Zach? That's a very enviable position to be in that box.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man.
Well,
I'm more worried about Megan. What happens when the box gets open and whoever that is on the other side of it.
He opens
it's a
it.
Rattlesnake
75, he opens it. He's like, oh, well.
He's like, can I send some of it back?
Nope. There are no returns on your fake metaphorical box.
I will be there to stay.
Okay.
Is he bringing the rattlesnakes? Because that could just be kind of a...
He's bringing
the
hiss.
Spice things up.
He's bringing the rattle. All right. So thank you to you all for reaching out. Rattlesnake75, you're a dirty bird.
But seriously, though, thank you guys for commenting. We really do have a blast on this show, so it means a lot.
So, Ward, Sky, spies in love. Are they? Let's find out. So they're on the bus on the way to Los Angeles to the cafe where Sky first met Mike Peterson for the very first time. A cool example of bringing us back to the start. Mm-hmm. I always appreciate that.
At Ruthie's.
Yes, at Ruthie's.
I wouldn't know if that's a real place.
Ruthie's. You know, there's a Ruthie's down at, like, I think the Topanga Mall in Woodland Hills. Is that the Ruthie's they were at?
Ruthie's Skillet.
I don't think so, because it was too close to LA Live. That's true.
Ruthie's Skillet. But in any case, before they get there, you know, Sky is trying to keep Ward in the dark about the fact that she knows that he's a Hydra agent. He's noticing that just something is a little up.
A lot of cops in the area.
Yeah, a lot of cops once they get there. Not just that, but that, you know, this hack is taking a really long time. Sky's hacks never take a long time. She's actually usually very, very sharp.
She hacked the NSA in like an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Most things take like 10 minutes, so why are we getting dessert?
I mean, that's the government, so
easy breezy.
Right. But her skin must just be crawling as he's like touching her and hugging her and holding the hands and pretending to be her boyfriend. What a jerk.
Ugh, yeah.
No, he likes that cover, though.
Well, and last week we were talking about how, like, creepy it was that they were walking off hand in hand and everything like that. So, yeah, it was very tense watching the two of them interact this episode. Mm-hmm. And him, like, trying to be all cutesy boyfriend. And her going, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I might even get some pie for dessert. Ha ha.
Oh, I found out there's not really a Ruthie skillet, but it was filmed at Spring Street Smokehouse Barbecue.
Ooh.
According to SeeingStars.com, which I've actually used for stuff.
Right?
Yeah. She's our ace guy. Yeah. She can get all our intel. Right.
You must have the Google on that thing.
I could hack into anything.
Yeah.
Especially barbecue restaurants.
Especially barbecue restaurants.
I have those on speed dial.
Perfect.
Yeah. Agent Kristen is a great detective.
Yeah. Agent Kristen, if you need ribs, you call her.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, every single cop in Los Angeles has descended upon Ruthie Skillet because Sky has alerted them towards presence. Just she's turning herself in just to get him out of commission. Unfortunately, though, he's Agent Grant Ward, and he completely dismantles the Los Angeles Police Department single-handedly.
Well, I mean, these guys were on break that were in there at first. They're like, man, they haven't even had their coffee yet, and they get a call in, like, oh, wait, he's
and
in
then the
booth.
Next thing he knows, he has Ward smashing a cup of water over his head.
A whole
which,
glass.
Do you think that, like, the level he's on the FBI wanted list, they would know, like, at least send the SWAT team?
Right.
Maybe they were on the way, you know, before it got in. Well, I feel like L.A. traffic is terrible, so they have to fly in. They're probably stuck on a 405 because they closed, like, four of the lanes again.
It's true.
I'm That's bitter, true. But I take mean, down the
well,
way
they're, if they're on Spring Street, they're in downtown, and good luck.
And then there's, like, one-way streets, and you can't go that way, and then there's, you know.
The SWAT team is stuck on Figueroa.
Right. See, if they were in
there's
Burbank.
There's, like, a Lakers game they can't get anywhere.
If they were in Burbank, the cops would have shown up in plenty of time.
The cops
anywhere
have already
else,
been there.
Yeah. They've been there eating pancakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So he's
but just
like,
out of curiosity, it must be very interesting, like, watching a scene like this, because it's like, oh, this guy's about to die.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like, I hadn't seen that episode before, and so I'm watching it, and right away I just see a friend of mine, and I'm like, oh, a stunt's about to happen. You know what I mean? I know that cop. Yeah.
You're like, nothing good can happen right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Do the people you work with here, do you work with them? Like, do they work on film and stuff as well?
Yeah.
So when you see a movie, do you kind of
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Things?
There's, you know, tons of stunt performers that have worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The list is huge. And a lot of those people have also worked in Captain America or Avengers or Iron Man. And it's a real crossover deal. It's a fairly small world. So you definitely work with the same people on all kinds of things. It's pretty funny. Like, in the same week, you could just be in five of the strangest costumes and locations and things that you're like, what are we? This is our job? Like, aren't we
so
grown ups?
Cool.
You know?
Yeah. So you take, like, pictures on set, you're like, today I'm a dead cop,
yeah,
and tomorrow I'm a dead superhero villain.
Why am I fighting people in a Toys R Us apron?
Exactly. Yeah, one of the first things I ever did, I was in the loincloth with these huge 9-foot Victoria's Secret angel wings getting launched off a building. I'm like, tune in, Mom, it's going to be great.
What?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Wait, what was this for?
That was for CSI New York.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of crazy
messed
things
up show.
Yep.
A lot of weird stuff.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, but this fight scene, very well choreographed. I thought for a second, I'm like, am I watching Batman Arkham City? Like, the fluidity with which he's just beating the crap out of these guys. Sky runs away, and she tries to get two cops to arrest her, and they're just asking her stupid questions like dummies. So she starts pushing them. They're like, okay, we're arresting you. And she's like, thank you. And then they both get shot immediately. And then Sky gets in the cop car, and she starts driving away. Ward's trying to explain, it's not what it looks like. It's
exactly,
I promise,
what it looks like.
It's exactly what it looks like. Listen, ladies, if your man ever says it's not what it looks like, that's not true. It is what it looks like.
One of the
more you know.
What were you going to say?
One of those cops that was arresting her the guy with the sunglasses on, his name's Corey. He's one of the best stunt drivers in the business. So as soon as I saw him, I'm like, all right, we're going to get some car action here. And then he just gets shot and she takes the car. I was like, well, that's kind of a waste of Corey's skills. You know?
Anybody could have been shot.
Yeah. Did it just for you, so you would be surprised when she stole the car.
At least have her pull a gun on him and have him drive.
Yeah.
You know?
She can sit in the back and slide around. He slides corners.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It sounds lovely.
I wonder if there was a part of that scene maybe that was cut just based off of time.
Yeah, oftentimes there's a lot of that, that in just all shows and things you work on where you do these big elaborate stunt things and then they just get real chopped down.
Well, and you're like, man, I got like, you know, broken ribs for this.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't even take it.
I always think of, I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark where they spent months choreographing this sword fight. Mm-hmm. And then at the very last minute, they just decided to have Indiana Jones shoot the guy.
Yeah. Well, it's because he was in pain. he had a back injury, so he couldn't do the fight scene. And instead, it's one of the most iconic moments of the entire movie.
That is such a great moment. Too, because it's just like he had a gun.
That's exactly what you would do.
So,
but anytime I see stunts like that, I always kind of think of that moment because you never know what's going to end up.
A lot of stuff gets absolutely. A lot of stuff gets improvised for sure. But with a show like this, they're pretty strict about shooting what they rehearse because you film the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. The guys will cut together a previs, show it to the director, show it to everybody, and it gets approved. And then they really try and stick to that. So there's not as much straying with the old Marvel world.
Well, let me ask you a question. So immediately after she steals the car, Deathlok appears, and he takes this massive leap and lands on the car.
I think J. August Richards can just do that.
Okay. Yeah. This is why...
He just has superpowers.
Yeah, that wasn't even We didn't even...
I didn't think so.
Well, that was going to be my question. Was you know, how much of that is like cables pulling them out of frame, and how much of it is CG? Like, is it just he's standing there, and then they take a model of his body, and then like the entire jump is CG, or is it you know, we have a top and a tail, and we fill the rest?
No, I mean, a lot of that stuff is totally practical. It's all done for real. We put them on a line, and we just use these high-speed winches or ratchets, and you just yank them straight up. Like you saw in the
That must be so
fun. How do you hook him onto there? Because, I mean, this is going to sound funny, but I feel like depending on how it hooks, I mean, that's going to be like a major wedgie, or that's going to really hurt pulling him up.
It can. I mean, you're wearing a harness underneath your wardrobe, and there's pick points all over it to pick to, so that depending on how you want the person to fly, you pick them here, or you can wrap the line around them so that when they unroll, and fly.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, yeah, it's not comfortable.
And I have to imagine with that kind of stuff, too, you know, being brought up so quickly in the air. I mean, I hurt my neck 2 weeks ago. I can't imagine, like, do you have to kind of loosen up for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you loosen up, but you also, you know, if you know you're going to get yanked straight back, you work really hard at keeping your chin down to your chest. You know, just different things you do with your body to anticipate it so that it doesn't just ragdoll you.
Totally.
But that, like in the, there was a preview for next week's episode.
Here, can we hold that till the end? Just because there's some people who don't watch the preview. We don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Well, anyways, there's a big stunt, man. It's all real.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get to it. So, Deathlok captures Sky, puts her back on the bus, her, Ward, and Deathlok together, finally, in a room. And, we haven't had a ton of time with J. August Richards to, like, just listen to him talk about what it's like to be Deathlok now. It's not great. He's
not super awesome.
He's really pissed at Sky. She said she would protect his kid, and, you know, she did. She did her best. She got the kid to his aunt. You know, there's a whole S.H.I.E.L.D. team there, and he's like, that's exactly the point. S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. You know, they could do anything they want to my kid at any time. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, I almost feel like at that moment she's like, "There's a team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agent." Oh,
right.
That thing is like, why is? I mean, I know why he's pissed at her, but it's like, why is he so mad? Because she didn't know. I mean, her love interest is like a Nazi.
He's a freaking Nazi.
I'm not a Nazi. Yes, you are.
That was great dialogue that happened right after there, because I feel like that is something that we would say. And I like when you know, the Whedon team, I'll just call them, writes like that, because that is something I feel like
it's something we needed to point out.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's true. Just to remind you how evil Hydra is. This is not like two sides of a coin. Like, no, these are Nazis, the bad of the bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love how he was immediately like, I'm not a Nazi because Nazis are evil.
You know, he didn't go to the smart school. So they must have skipped over history over there.
And over at Jock Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Deathlok gives him 5 minutes to try to get Skye to open up and tell him where to go to decrypt this hard drive. And she refuses to tell him. And, you know, they're arguing. And he tells her, you know, whatever I did, whatever was wrong, like, my feelings for you, they're real, girl. Girl, listen to me, girl.
That makes everything better.
I feel like you're going to break out into song or something. Yeah. Yeah. You're real, girl. Yeah. Mm, sing it.
Yeah.
Just preach it.
Oh, I'm not going to. I don't have a beat or anything.
Well, that reminds me of a lot of songs like that, where it's like, yeah, I totally cheated on you, but I totally still love you.
Right.
It's like, what?
And she makes this point. She's like, you're a serial killer, which, okay, a little much. He's not a serial killer. He's a spy.
Maybe not the textbook definition of a serial killer.
I mean, she does say murderer, and I think that's more accurate.
Right. He is a
murderer. Serial
killer
makes it seem a little more like Ted Bundy.
Right,
or
like folks
that.
Going on killing sprees for the fun of
but
it.
But he's a murderer. He's done it a bunch of times, showing no signs of stopping.
Well, and to be fair, a lot of people in Hydra are kind of like they're in a cult. So in her eyes, yeah, it could be like a culty serial killer thing.
I say he's a serial killer. I say that definition sticks.
Yeah. Hail Hydra. Yeah. The world's dumbest salute. The double arm raise. It's the Superman fly pose is their salute.
It just feels like such a frat boy salute.
Yeah. It's like, sup, bro, double fist bump.
Serial killer is a typically defined as a person who murders three, because somebody's going to write it on there. Although, you know what, this isn't like some of the other really like...
Finish your thought.
Okay, sorry. Or more people, kills three or more people over a period of more than 30 days with a cooling off period between each murder, and whose motivation for killing is largely based on psychological gratification.
Yeah.
All right.
So you could argue that he is, but I don't think he gets like gratification out of it. Like,
he's not
I'm
Dexter, and this is
you.
This is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not The Following. So, right.
So
sorry, I just had to go there because once I had somebody say a video of mine wasn't a parody, and I was like, really? No. It was.
It was. It was. Okay. So unfortunately, Deathlok gets his orders that Garrett is, you know, isn't going to give them any more time. So he goes down to where Skye's being held, and he threatens her, and she's like, you won't hurt me. You could have shot me back when Quinn shot me, but you didn't. You're a good person. You're a good person, Mike. He's like, you're right. I won't hurt you. And then he fires an electrical doohickey right at Ward's heart and completely stops it. And, you know, Skye could have just let him die, and we'd all be safe and sound and happy.
Okay. I really... Okay. Go ahead, go ahead.
I think we're going to say the same thing. I kind of wanted her to do it.
I thought she was going to.
Yeah.
I thought that was the end of Ward right
now. Wow. I just... She's not a killer. B, I mean, I'm just starting to like him now that he's evil. I don't want him to die.
I feel like if Mike wouldn't have said that makes you a killer, I think she would have let him die because she wasn't thinking that way.
Choices, decisions.
Well, it was really funny seeing Ward like directly after it, you know, because when he's, you know, when the electricity stops and his heart comes back on. Just like that is the look of a man who is seriously thinking about his choices in life.
Yeah, because the person, you know, that he can still trust Skye.
Yeah. I mean,
trust her more than well,
trust
Mike
her
right
not
there.
Trust her not to kill him.
Yeah, his father figure just ordered Deathlok to basically give him a heart attack, and you know, under the good faith that Skye wouldn't let him do that. And so, yeah, she could have very easily been like, Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do it.
I feel
he
like
would have died.
Melinda
right
would have let him die because she's awesome like that.
That's true.
Melinda would have kicked him while he was on the bed there.
However, so she
tried to kick him while she's like hooked up to
him. She tells Deathlok, you know, that the location isn't a destination; it's an altitude, 35,000 feet, and the thing will open. So they
which
get
which is very clever,
right?
Chances are you'd be on the bus.
So he orders Ward to get them up into the air, and we see the other jet, the Maria Hill jet. Let's call it the Hill jet. And Phil Coulson has snuck himself on board the bus. Fantastic!
So badass.
We're up in the air. It's great. And you know, he finds Sky almost immediately. It's like, oh, great! And like he's like, come on, we're gonna escape. And I'm just sitting there. I'm being like. Oh, by the way, there's Deathlok. Oh, by the way, Deathlok's on the plane. Oh, by the way, Deathlok's on the plane. Oh, by the way, Deathlok's on the plane. And she still hasn't told him. And then she's like, oh, yeah. So how did you get rid of Deathlok? He's like, Deathlok's on the plane? I'm like, yes. Oh, man, Deathlok's on the plane. Yeah.
I think there were a lot of problems with this scene because I kept yelling. I'm just going, like, thinking in my head, like, come on, Maria Hill. Just, like, just knock out a wing or something. It can't fly. Then you ground it. They have to come out at some point. Smoke them out or I don't know.
Yeah. It's an expensive plane.
Well, yeah, but they fixed it before. They've got
when there was a shield.
Well, and this kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's not necessarily an action show. It's a spy show, you know? Like, in a spy show, we're going to have somebody sneaking onto the plane as opposed to them getting in a big aerial fight.
Exactly.
Just shoot the tire. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it could have very easily just, like, their engines are very exposed. All you need to take out is one or
and
two.
You know Nick Fury has, like, a retirement fund somewhere. That's probably like $1 billion.
No, he doesn't. And if he does, he's using it.
Stark, in his, Stark has money.
Guys,
is a favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, we can't get.
She works at Stark Industries. It should be insured or something.
In any case,
AAA.
Yeah. Exactly.
In any case, once they're on the plane, they need to get off the plane before Deathlok kills the F out of them. So Coulson tells her to run. He runs too. They hop in Lola. And, you know, drive her off the edge of the plane in just the nick of time. And it's a great sequence. The car is flipping over in midair. Two of the engines aren't working.
Yeah, kudos to the VFX team.
It's really...
That was, like, I think that and the episode just after Captain America are some of the best sequences of VFX we've seen on this
and,
show.
And you were telling us that, you know, the turnaround is incredibly tight on the show.
Yeah, it's wild how much stuff they pack into each episode. It's, you know, they're doing... They're so intertwined with the Marvel movies that they're trying to maintain those level of stunts and VFX and everything on a television show budget and schedule. So it's pretty impressive that they pull it off. It's a lot of people working hard around the clock.
Yeah.
Because that sequence is in a green screen, it seemed like there wasn't really stunts. Was that something that mostly the actors were involved with?
Then? Yeah, that would mostly be
because you can keep
be
a better
actors.
Eye on it.
Yeah, but you know... When she floats up out of the car because she doesn't buckle up.
Yeah. she should have kept that parachute just in case.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to pick that. Yeah. But, yeah, that you know, do that in front of a green screen, put her in one of those harnesses. There's different types, and then we just fly her up. So it's all still.
It's a really impressive piece of work. Thankfully, though, they got away safely. And now the whole dregs of the team and Maria Hill are hanging out at this motel just trying to figure out next steps, man. I mean, Garrett's on the loose with every weapon he could ever possibly want, and now all this information. Sky says that she gave them a little surprise when she decrypted the hard drive. We don't know what that is yet, so I assume we'll find out next week. Maybe it's a tracker program, some kind of bug, who knows? Mm-hmm. And we get some nice little quiet moments between Maria and Coulson, between Fitz and Simmons. Triplet gets to enjoy some chips.
I love that we saw in the background he's sharing the chips with Fitz and Simmons. Mm-hmm. That's why I think like they've really kind of welcomed him in the group. And even though Fitz is a little anxious about it, I think he's starting to trust him.
Right.
Yeah, he's starting to warm up to him a bit. I don't think he would have accepted chips if...
Ward wouldn't have given him chips.
No. The last time Fitz offered him food, Ward threw it into the middle of the desert.
Oh, that sandwich. R.I.P. sandwich.
We got to have one of those before the end of the season, you guys.
Were you going to say something, Zach?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's fine. So, Melinda May returns, and she offers the big twist of the episode. While she was gone on her vision quest, she dug up Phil Coulson's grave, and inside his casket, for some reason, is a flash drive containing evidence that Phil Coulson not only knew what Tahiti was before he died, but that he vehemently said that no one should be exposed to it. We should shut the project down. No one should be put through this thing because of the side effects. But those side effects could be curbed if you rewrote someone's memories.
I mean, he not only knew about it, he ran the program. Mm-hmm. He was the lead agent on the project.
Right. But he didn't order himself to be reawoken or to have his memories rewritten. He just came up with the idea.
Yeah, that's something, you know, we didn't know he was actually involved in the project before being subject to the experiment. Mm-hmm. But it still doesn't answer, well, who was Fury answering to when it came down to this decision?
I thought that was sort of hit, like the way of saying that Coulson was, in a way, the person that Fury was answering to.
Yeah.
Like his instructions on the project were what Fury used as a guide.
Well, and the whole project was for the Avengers, and he's the one that assembled them. I mean, mm-hmm. Nick Fury had the idea, but he was the one that went around and kind of did all the dirty work.
Right. It's true. There's obviously going to have far-reaching, what's the word I'm looking for?
Implications.
Mm-hmm. Implications, thank you. And consequences, both work. but in any case, it's a game changer. And the most that Coulson can muster in response is, huh.
that was a great one.
It was really wonderful.
I mean, he already's got so much going on. I mean, I like that he said earlier, I think it was to Triplett, where he said, you know, I'm going to have a major freak out later.
Right.
And I think, I know I've been saying from the beginning, it has to happen. He has to somehow.
I mean, he had a couple of those moments kind of around mid-season, but he's very good at compartmentalizing mm-hmm. and shutting down those parts of his brain that are actively freaking out. I feel like we covered the vast majority of this episode. I think we should do predictions. And then we'll talk to Casey more in depth.
All right.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
Predictions.
All right, so you were telling us about a scene that's coming up that was in the Next Time On package at the end of the show. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. I mean, you were talking about the wire work and all that. There's a scene in that preview where two characters come out of the building on that zip line,
mm-hmm.
and that's all real. They took a window out of the building, ran a zip line, and just zip lined people.
That's awesome. I want that job.
Yeah. It's a super fun job. You have to play like it's not super fun.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
You're like, oh, yeah, this is my job, and I'm taking it seriously. The whole time you're like, this is awesome. It's just not awesome.
I couldn't do that. I've been ziplining before. Yeah, it's too much fun.
I can't do that unless I can have my phone out. I could just take photos the whole way.
If I'm cool and like dressed up like Melinda May, I would just be like, I'm kicking butt right now.
Yeah, I feel like you go down that thing with like the most badass. Possibly muster on your face,
right?
And then you take a selfie doing it.
No, exactly. So next week we kind of talked about the press release for the episode last week, where you know we're kind of getting the showdown between the team and Ward and finding out about his past. We get to see how he came to be an agent of Hydra.
Yeah, we saw Baby Ward.
Baby Ward,
so cute,
little Baby Ward.
Well, and then Bill Paxton is back then, mm-hmm. which is great to have him on the show.
As John Garrett. And I imagine, this is my prediction, by the end of the episode, Ward will be back with the team and they will be off to fight John Garrett. That is my prediction.
I kind of want to see Ward die.
I'm on board with that.
I mean, like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just
you want to be
want to
be shocked.
Yeah, I watch too many right. Like, Game of Thrones.
It makes way too much sense to have him get back with the team and have
There's
everything be
too
normal.
Much going. Yeah, exactly. There's too much going on, or he needs to like be in a coma, or so. I don't know. I feel like too much. too much has been broken.
It's too easy for him if he goes back to the team. Like, we got May back. She had her betrayal, and we brought her back. But it was like, we understand her betrayal. Words is too much. Maybe he won't die, but at minimum, I think he saves the day and goes off on his own.
I agree with that prediction. Well, in terms of, like, saving the day, because I think what's going to happen is I think he's going to die, but I think it's going to be a redemptive death. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen that he really does care about Sky, and he to an extent cares about the team, even though he's got his mission and everything like that, and he's still very much Hydra. I think that if he dies, it's going to be a last-ditch effort to save Sky or to save the team. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a redemption thing. Because if it wasn't, then what was the point of saving him right now in this episode?
Mm-hmm. I think he might save her while still doing something evil.
That's possible, too.
That's hard, man. That's hard to be evil and save someone at the same time.
I also have a prediction that I think we'll see Fitz hurt someone before the end of this
season. Wouldn't it be great if Fitz was the one that took down John Garrett? Because
That'd be
he
cool.
said, I'm going to make you, you know, you're going to suffer for what you've done, and I'm going to be a big part of making
that
happen.
I want to see him do it, but with the seven dwarves, with his little flying robots. That's what I would like to see. Okay.
That'd be fun.
So I think we have time to maybe each ask Casey one more question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, in your time on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, what is the coolest thing that you've gotten to do? Or a favorite stunt or a favorite moment?
We did, in one of the episodes, we did that bar fight. Mm-hmm. We're all like bikers because I'm real typical. It was a bunch of guys that were twice my size.
It was the Thor crossover episode with
Lady Sif
and
Lorelai.
Lorelai, thank you.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. Just because we had a lot of stuff to do. We do what's called an air ram. That's where you step on this plate. It's on a hydraulic catapult. Right when you step on it, it fires. And so I stepped on that as Lady Sif throws me across the bar and into the back of the bar. Then we had other guys, big guys, in those harnesses all wrapped up weird, and we'd yank them, and they'd go flying up into things. And it's just fun to, like, throw your friends around like that, especially big, like, 6'5", 6' guys that are it's just wild to watch them
and
fly.
You just stand behind the monitor giggling.
But it was fun. Yeah, I got killed several times in that episode. But
do you count how many times you get killed?
I don't even know. Like, I probably died 3 or 4 times in that scene. So it doesn't always go like that.
Cool.
But, you know, they were improv and stuff. They're like, hey, you know, Coulson would be like, I need to kill someone right here. Like, someone, you know, it's the actors are super involved, too, with how everything interacts. So stuff does get improvised. Like, well, I feel like, you know, my back's exposed right now, so someone should come in and I should watch her back. And then, like, go put a different hat on. You're going to go down again.
What's probably the most difficult part of what you guys do? I imagine that there's a ton of preparation that goes into each and every stunt just for safety's sake. But is it that rehearsal process? Is it actually, you know, kind of more of like the fear of injury that kind of makes things difficult?
Yeah, it's surprising. It takes a huge team of a lot of people, and everyone's working together. And it's really pretty safe because you all have each other's back and you're trying to not get hurt, because there's a good chance you're going to have to do it a second, a third, and a fourth time. You know, very few things. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll get this on the first take with this explosion here. This car's getting over there. And it's like, no.
How many stunt people do you have on set at any given time for all these big fight scenes?
Yeah, in that fight scene, there was probably 15 guys at least.
It was a big crowd.
Yeah, 15. You know, and then they'll mix in, like, background actors or actors that are playing parts or whatever. But then you have stunt riggers that are there that are rigging these stunts. So it's a pretty big number of people. It's pretty fun.
Do those extras ever get in the way? You're like, oh, shoot, I just hit one of them.
Sometimes. You try to avoid them. Sometimes they'll, like, jump in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It's my big break. My nose is broken.
No, but they're cool. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, just being on set and stuff. I know a lot of the fans stuff are on pins and needles about season 2. Have you heard anything?
I don't know. It's for someone that's on the works on the show. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on. They keep you pretty in the dark. You know, it's not like there's scripts getting passed around or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm doing a scene, I just know what I'm doing in that scene, and that's all I know. So, and there's, you know, Marvel security walking around the stage all the time. Like, I was there, like, in the first few weeks when I was doing some stuff on it, I just kept getting asked over and over and over, like, are you supposed to be here? Like, what are you doing?
What level are you?
Yeah, right.
in the Disney Marvel universe.
Yeah, I'm picturing actual S.H.I.E.L.D. agents protecting, right? Like, the script and everything like that.
Yeah, it's you know, because they don't want that stuff getting out, so they take
absolutely.
It pretty.
What, do you do any other shows?
I do. Yeah, I do New Girl and a bunch of sitcoms. I do.
Are you like Jake Johnson's?
I am.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I love that show.
Yeah, I do movies and a lot of commercials. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other TV shows. So it's not like there's guys like Greg Rementer, who I mentioned on this show, that they're on this show like full time. Greg is Ward's double, mm-hmm. and he's fight coordinator, and he obviously has a ton of action in the show, so he's just on it nonstop. Whereas I get to like kind of come and go work on this over here, and go work on that, which is pretty sweet.
Great. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I really, really appreciate it. Do you have you don't have a Twitter handle or
I
anything?
Don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to plug or anything that's coming up that you'd like people to know about?
Hi, Mom.
All right.
I never tell anybody what I'm doing.
All right.
Nobody ever sees it, so that's I'll okay. finally have to.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. Zach, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @ZachWilson. I'm going to use the rest of my time to quickly say I still think Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel possibility.
Okay. Kristen.
You can find me on Twitter, KristenCarroll13. I also do the Turn podcast. And Spotlight on a recently interviewed Alicia Wett, so check that out because she's cool.
I'm Megan.
You can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And I also do the Turn podcast on Sunday nights.
Great. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. You can find all of my videos for AfterBuzz TV, SourceFed, SourceFed Nerd, and my own personal stuff on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. I want to thank everybody for downloading, watching, listening, streaming. You're all the best. Go home. Go to sleep.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too, Matt.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.